On the KSRO live line is Gerald Kaminsky. He is the director of the UCLA Center for Health Policy Research. Why are we talking to Gerald? Well, this is going to affect all of us inevitably, our health care coverage. How well are we prepared for what's to come from that standpoint? And Gerald, good to have you with us.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
I'll bet you're a very busy guy right now trying to figure this all out. First of all, let's talk about preparedness when it comes to the healthcare system in the United States and here in California. How well are we prepared?
Well, unfortunately, we were not nearly as well prepared as we needed to be.
How come?
And I will say that as this pandemic has unfolded, that I think we have the good fortune to live in a state where the governor and the leadership of this state, the public health leadership, has recognized the need to take action and not wait for the federal government.
Yeah.
Because if we're taking our cue from Washington, D.C., we would be far behind the curve at this point. Instead, the latest figures that I've seen is that the estimates of deaths due to coronavirus in California are going down daily. And this is really good news, and I think is an indication that the efforts that we're making here at this, in the state, are paying off.
And you're certainly right about Washington, D.C., but it's not just Washington, D.C. I mean, we look at the horrifying stories from the state of New York at this stage of the game and wonder what the hell took them so long to get into the act, you know?
Yeah, you know, I haven't followed exactly when New York undertook its action, but I do think that, yes, but Manhattan is a, you know, it's sort of a different environment.
Yeah.
And once the virus got a foothold in New York, I think that it spread very, very quickly.
Understandably, because of the mass of people.
I think that San Francisco is probably, you know, the densest population or the densest city that we have in California, and the fact that San Francisco has taken aggressive actions, I think, has protected the population of Northern California.
Is just because the coronavirus is a brand new thing for us, how are we covered as well as we should be for it?
Well, let me ask you, when you say covered, do you mean in terms of our health care insurance and,
yes,
and the health care system?
Yes.
So in terms of health care insurance, you know, we continue to have gaps because 30 million Americans are without insurance in the state of California, roughly 3.5 million are uninsured. The Affordable Care Act has dramatically improved insurance coverage around the country, and particularly in California.
Yes.
So we're better off than we were 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. But there are still gaps in coverage. There are people who fall through the cracks. So that's one issue. The other issue is that even for people with insurance, there are lots of policies that have high deductibles, high out-of-pocket requirements. So if someone gets hospitalized with coronavirus symptoms, they potentially are facing thousands of dollars of out-of-pocket expenditures.
Yeah, so, for being the hospitalization, et cetera.
That's exactly right. So, you know, in terms of our health care coverage, I think the coronavirus illustrates once again that we still have a long way to go to get universal coverage in the state of California and in the United States. In terms of, you know, other gaps, I think this virus and how quickly it's spread has pointed out gaps in our delivery system.
Oh, clearly, yes.
Yeah, so we have, you know, just basic supplies, the PPE that everybody's talking about. Suddenly we find extreme shortages, and this just should not happen. We should have been able to see this coming, begin to ramp up production of these essential essential protective equipment that hospitals and doctors and healthcare providers need to protect themselves and to provide care in a safe environment.
Yeah, so that's a stockpile issue. You know, that's a reserve issue that you're talking about, Gerald. And talk to us about the response time since then. Okay, now that once we found out that we were incredibly lacking in terms of equipment for our healthcare workers, what's your assessment of our response time to that reality?
So this is a case where the state really can't, although the state is trying to fill in these gaps, this is where federal action is really needed, because what you have is this states competing against one another. I think Governor Cuomo put it very clearly the other day. He said we basically have eBay. You have states bidding against each other for essential equipment, and then on top of that, the federal government is bidding against the states. This should not be happening. And this is where
it seems crazy to us.
Federal leadership is really apparent. We should be coordinating acquisition and distribution of these essential services. And instead, the reports that I'm hearing and seeing in the news are that it appears that the national stockpile, the federal stockpile, is being distributed to states based on political considerations, not where there's the greatest need.
Yeah, and that's absolutely shocking to us. And the notion that bidding wars are ensuing for things like ventilators is also shocking to us. And being in one of the richest states in the United States here in California, still very shocking to us that it sort of underlines the notion that that those of us who have the most money will be the best cared for.
Exactly. But I will say, emphasize again, that it appears that the latest projections of the impact in the state of California are much better than just a few days ago. And I think that's a real credit to the political leadership and the public health leadership in the state that early on recognized that dramatic action was necessary. Dramatic measures were necessary. And it looks like, as a result, we flattened the curve even more than the most optimistic projections even a week ago.
This is where real leadership emerges in this kind of a situation. You're absolutely right. Gerald, what about our health insurance rates post-COVID-19?
Well, I would expect that they're going to go up, and there's going to be a bump. And the question is, how much is it going to be? But I think there is... Everybody needs to be prepared that next year's premiums are going to be unusually higher because the costs that are currently being incurred to treat this disease and this virus are going to be factored into next year's premiums.
Yeah, so the jump that we are sort of accustomed to on an annual basis is going to jump up even dramatically further than that?
Well, it's going to be an unusual year. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
I don't want to speculate on percentages, but, you know, we've had the good fortune in California of having relatively low annual increases in premiums for a while, certainly, you know, single digits. And next year could be a double-digit increase in premiums.
And will insurance companies be able to survive this, the extra expenditures that come with this pandemic?
Yeah, I think that most insurance companies have reserves. There are provisions in the CARES Act that Congress passed recently and the president signed that will provide some relief for the hospital industry. And so we're going to be able to get through this financially, but insurance companies are not charities. And so whatever reserves they use to get through this unusual period of higher than expected expenditures, they'll be recapturing those. No expenditures in the future.
Yeah, and it's just part of the story when it's when we get to the point, we'll all be happy to get there, when we get to the point where we are considering the economic fallout of this whole pandemic, then healthcare will be just one of the items that we'll be looking at. Gerald, thanks for your information. I appreciate your input this morning.
Thank you very much. It's been my pleasure.
That is Gerald Kaminsky, director of the UCLA Center for Health Policy Research.